Homodeus, A Brief History of Tomorrow. Is Beethoven better than Chuck Berry? To make sure we understand the difference between the three humanist branches, let's compare a few human experiences. Experience number one. A musicology professor sits in the Vienna Opera House, listening to the opening of Beethoven's Fifth Symphony. Ba-ba-ba-bam. After the sound waves hit his eardrums, signals travel via the auditory nerve to the brain, and the adrenal gland floods his bloodstream with adrenaline. His heartbeat accelerates, his breathing intensifies, the hairs on his neck stand up, and a shiver runs down his spine. Ba-ba-ba-bam. Experience number two. It's 1965. A Mustang convertible is speeding down the Pacific Road from San Francisco to LA at full throttle. The young macho driver puts on Chuck Berry at full volume. Go, go, Journey, go, go. As the sound waves hit his eardrum, signals travel via the auditory nerve to the brain, and the adrenal gland floods his bloodstream with adrenaline. His heartbeat accelerates, his breathing intensifies, the hairs on his neck stand up, and a shiver runs down his spine. Go, go, Jenny, go, go. Experience number three. Deep in the Congolese rainforest, a pygmy hunter stands transfixed. From the nearby village, he hears a choir of girls singing their initiation song. Yay, oh, oh, yay, oh, yay. As the sound waves hit his eardrum, signals travel via the auditory nerve to the brain, and the adrenal gland floods his bloodstream with adrenaline. His heartbeat accelerates, his breathing intensifies, the hairs on his neck stand up, and a shiver runs down his spine. Yeah, oh, oh, yeah, oh, eh. Experience number four. It's a full moon night somewhere in the Canadian Rockies. A wolf is standing on a hilltop listening to the howls of a female in heat. Oh-woo, oh-woo. As the sound waves hit his eardrums, signals travel via the auditory nerve to the brain, and the adrenal gland floods his bloodstream with adrenaline. His heartbeat accelerates, his breathing intensifies, the hairs on his neck stand up, and a shiver runs down his spine. Oh-woo, oh-woo. Which of these four experiences is the most valuable? If you are liberal, you will tend to say that the experiences of the musicology professor, of the young driver, and of the Congolese hunter are all equally valuable, and all should be equally cherished. Every human experience contributes something unique and enriches the world with new meaning. Some people like classical music, others love rock and roll, and still others prefer traditional African chants. Music students should be exposed to the widest possible range of genres, and at the end of the day, everyone could go to the iTunes store, punch in their credit card number, and buy what they like. Beauty is in the ears of the listener, and the customer is always right. The wolf, though, is not human, hence his experiences are far less valuable. That's why the life of a wolf is worth less than the life of a human, and why it is perfectly okay to kill a wolf in order to save a human. When all is said and done, wolves do not get to vote in any beauty contests, nor do they hold any credit cards. This liberal approach is manifested, for example, in the Voyager Golden Record. In 1977, the Americans launched the space probe Voyager 1 on a journey to outer space. By now, it has left the solar system, making it the first man-made object to traverse interstellar space. Besides state-of-the-art scientific equipment, NASA placed on board a golden record aimed to introduce planet Earth to any inquisitive aliens who might encounter the probe. The record contains a variety of scientific and cultural information about Earth and its inhabitants, some images and voices, and several dozen pieces of music from around the world, which are supposed to represent a fair sample of earthly artistic achievement. The musical sample mixes in no obvious order classical pieces, including the opening movement of Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, contemporary popular music including Chuck Berry's Johnny B. Goode, and traditional music from throughout the world, including an initiation song of Congolese pygmy girls. Though the record also contains some canine howls, they are not part of the music sample, but rather relegated to a different section that also includes the sounds of wind, rain, and surf. The message to potential listeners in Alpha Centauri is that Beethoven, Chuck Berry, and the Pygmy Initiation Song are of equal merit, whereas wolf howls belong to an altogether different category. If you're a socialist, you will probably agree with the liberals that the wolf's experience is of little value, but your attitude towards the three human experiences will be quite different. A socialist's true believer will explain that the real value of music depends not on the experiences of the individual listener, but on the impact it has on the experiences of other people and of society as a whole. As Mao said, there is no such thing as art for art's sake, art that stands above classes, art that is detached from or independent of politics. So when coming to evaluate the musical experiences, a socialist will focus, for example, on the fact that Beethoven wrote the Fifth Symphony for an audience of upper-class white Europeans, exactly when Europe was about to embark on its conquest of Africa. His symphony reflected Enlightenment ideals, which glorified upper-class white men, and branded the conquest of Africa as the white man's burden. Rock and roll, the socialist will say, was pioneered by downtrodden African-American musicians who drew inspiration from genres like blues, jazz, and gospel. However, in the 1950s and 60s, rock and roll was hijacked by mainstream white America and pressed into the service of consumerism, of American imperialism, and of cocoa colonization. Rock and roll was commercialized and appropriated by privileged white teenagers in their petit bourgeois fantasy of rebellion. Chuck Berry himself bowed to the dictates of the capitalist juggernaut. While he originally sang about a colored boy named Johnny B. Goode, under pressure from white-owned radio stations, Berry changed the lyrics to a country boy named Johnny B. Goode. As for the choir of Congolese Pygmy Girls, their initiation songs are part of a patriarchal power structure that brainwashes both men and women to conform to an oppressive gender order. And if a recording of such an initiation song ever makes it to the global marketplace, it merely serves to reinforce Western colonial fantasies about Africa in general and about African women in particular. So which music is best? Beethoven's Fifth, Johnny B. Goode, or the Pygmy Initiation Song? Should the government finance the building of opera houses, rock and roll venues, or African heritage exhibitions? And what should we teach music students in schools and colleges? Well, don't ask me that. Ask the party's cultural commissar. Whereas liberals tiptoe around the minefield of cultural comparisons, fearful of committing some politically incorrect faux pas, and whereas socialists leave it to the party to find the right path through the minefield, evolutionary humanists gleefully jump right in, setting off all the mines and relishing in their mayhem. They may start by pointing out that both liberals and socialists draw the line at other animals and have no trouble admitting that humans are superior to wolves and that, consequently, human music is far more valuable than wolf howls. Yet humankind itself is not exempt from the forces of evolution. Just as humans are superior to wolves, so some human cultures are more advanced than others. There is an unambiguous hierarchy of human experiences, and we should not be apologetic about it. The Taj Mahal is more beautiful than a straw hut. Michelangelo's David is superior to my 5-year-old niece's latest clay figurine, and Beethoven composed far better music than Chuck Berry or the Congolese Pygmies. There, we've said it. According to evolutionary humanists, anyone arguing that all human experiences are equally valuable is either an imbecile or a coward. Such vulgarity and timidity will lead only to the degeneration and extinction of humankind, as human progress is impeded in the name of cultural relativism or social equality. If liberals or socialists had lived in the Stone Age, they would probably have seen little merit in the murals of Lascaux and Altamira, and would have insisted that they are in no way superior to Neanderthal doodles.
That's it for today. I create a lot of content. I run a debating podcast. I write stories. I film videos with a drone. and I run many other projects too. If you'd like to stay informed of things I do, sign up to my private newsletter. It's free. Head to bit.ly/newslettersebastian, all attached and in lowercase. Thank you for listening.